Hey folks, welcome to the Entertainment Den podcast sub-series, Topics and Tangents. This is a series where I like to explore a topic or discuss something in relation to the world of entertainment, and is less about news-based responses and perspectives that I have on the main show. It can cover anything from discussions of genre, to medium, to franchises, and so on. I hope it's a series we can enjoy and have fun with together, and with that, let's get started. So this is an episode that I kind of wanted to do in response to the new Superman movie that just came out. It came out this past weekend, and I have now seen it twice. I got to see it early Friday morning in the IMAX, which was a lot of fun, and then I saw it one more time just today, actually, because I really wanted to have it fresh in my mind for this discussion, because I think this movie has brought up a lot of response in terms of the need for a kind, empathetic, hopeful superhero movie, and it made me think of a broader topic in terms of genre around hope in storytelling. To start off with, now I have seen the movie twice, and it's very big, bombastic, it's very popcorn, it's very much, as James Gunn, the writer-director of it, said, it was his movie that expressed his love for comic books. And you feel that with every frame of the movie. And it's a very fun movie, and it's a very fun, fresh take on Superman, and it's very different from the Man of Steel, which came out almost, 2013? So 12 years ago is when Man of Steel, Zack Snyder's Man of Steel came out, and that version of Superman that starred Henry Cavill, that kind of came out in the post a Dark Knight trilogy era, where Warner Brothers was trying to contrast itself from the Marvel brand, which was just getting up and running. The Dark Knight Rises, which concluded Nolan's Batman movies, had finished the year prior to Man of Steel, and that was the same year where Marvel's first Avengers movie came out. And now, many years later, after we had Man of Steel, which was trying to be very dramatic and somber, this film goes in a very opposite direction. It's very, like I said, it's very popcorn, it's very comic book cartoony, and I don't mean that in a shallow way at all, but it's a very vibrant, imaginative take on the character of Superman. You know, we've had things like the Christopher Reeve movies, which I've seen the first two of those, and I haven't seen three or four. I did see Superman Returns, which came out in 2006, that starred Brandon Routh, and that was very much kind of like a nostalgic nod to the Christopher Reeves films. And then you had Snyder's Man of Steel in 2013, which was being big and bombastic, but it was still trying to keep the somber, serious tone of the Nolan interpretation of Batman and was trying to apply it to Superman, and then later to Snyder's take on the DC Universe. And James Gunn, with this movie, is very much trying to make this film a fantastical fantasy world. He has said one of the things that he likes about DC is that he gets to do a lot of world building in ways that is different from Marvel. Marvel does have world building and some creative fantastical elements, but it's all those things trying to be tied to our real world. It's a fantasy version of our real world. DC is kind of a fantasy version of our real world, but it leans into the fantasy even more, and we have created places like Metropolis that you see in this movie. After seeing it twice, I wanted to discuss one of the things that a lot of people were responding to with this movie, and that is how it's about hopefulness, which that's a theme that's kind of thrown out there in the Snyder movies, but it's more just talked about and less shown in some ways in the Man of Steel movie. And in this one, it's not an origin story from the ground, from the start of the film, from the ground running. It's very much 3 years into Superman being around, and it's about Superman being this kind, caring person that wants to save lives. I've seen a couple of people online now talk about how Superman's not a cop. Superman's a firefighter. He's an emergency responder. He is trying to save as many lives as much as he possibly can and minimize how many lives are lost, even if that includes facing enemies he has to fight. He still wants to save lives, not take them or let people die as much as he possibly can. And this film very much demonstrates Superman's determination to be kind, to be a caring superhero. And it's something that is resonating with a lot of people right now, given the current political climate of what's happening in the world, given everything that's going on. People found this take on Superman really, really refreshing, because at one point in the movie, and I'm going to keep it very vague, I'm not going to go into spoilers right now, but there is an exchange between Superman, or Clark Kent, and Lois Lane, where Superman's kind of having a low moment in determining how he's just gone through something, and now people are maybe turning on him, and he's not in his best moment right now. And, you know, Clark and Lois have this heart-to-heart, and, you know, she points out, like, why they contrast each other, and the thing that makes her a brilliant journalist is also something that can sometimes be put her on the opposite end and, like, in an antagonistic position with others, which is she questions everything, which isn't always necessarily a bad thing, but sometimes it can run into problems of, like, trust and seeing the best in people. And she points that out about herself, where she, like, questions everything, goes against everything, and she says how Superman seeks out the beauty in everything and tries to see the beauty in everything. And Superman responds saying, maybe that's the real punk rock, because it's tied to a discussion that they were having about punk rock just a minute earlier. And that actually kind of reminded me of this movement in entertainment and storytelling that's been happening for a couple of years now, which is a kind of subgenre in speculative fiction, or a stylistic movement in entertainment and storytelling that's called hope punk. And it's a term that came out in 2017, and it was, I believe it, and according to at least on Wikipedia, it came from fantasy author Alexandra Rowland, and she had proposed the term Hope Punk as being the opposite of Grimdark. Grimdark is very famously, you know, very cynical, bleak outlook on things in genre entertainment, and it can be any types of, many different types of genre that can be grimdark. It's not just grimdark fantasy, although that is one area of genre that explores the theme of grimdark. Grimdark being things are bad, good people don't survive, only the worst of people and the worst of the world thrives, and when things seem to be going good, it's not going to last very long. So it's a very kind of cynical and cynical perspective that's kind of almost rooted in despair to some degree. And, you know, there is a place for that, but then came this term about hope punk and how it's meant to be kind of the opposite of grimdark in that it is trying to explore the importance of hope, of love, of being kind and seeing the possibility of a good life and a good future for both oneself and others. And it's very interesting how we've gone through various phases of exploring, like, grimdark contrasted against hope punk. So we see this all the time in various kind of genre storytelling and just in entertainment in general, where various forms of, like, movies or shows or books that are written or plays that are written or games that are made, comics that are written, graphic novels that are written, all of them go through these phases, and you can tell how the culture shifts the type of art that is made and how it's a response to many things. So, an example, this is less about grimdark versus hope punk, but an example of how shifts like this can change, you just look at it as an example, look at the horror genre and how that's evolved over time in mainstream entertainment, especially over the last century, where the things horror used to explore as a genre started off rooted in myths and monsters, and that was in response to all the myths and legends and the folk tales that people brought with them from their countries and their homeland and their culture when they were coming, like, to other countries like the United States, and how as the film industry was starting to boom in Hollywood, how those were mainly the types of horror that was explored, like tales from, like, an older world and legends of an older time. And then there was a shift during the Cold War, and that explored more the threat of, like a nuclear annihilation, and, like, the Cold War of, like, one country versus another, or one political perspective versus another. And then we saw that kind of shift again in, like, the 60s and 70s, where things were kind of very cynical and things were starting to get really grounded, and suddenly, even though there could be supernatural things, it became less of about the Cold War and being fearful of the person next door, being fearful of like, you know, the neighborhood you live in. We see things like that in Hitchcock's Psycho and John Carpenter's Halloween, you know, where the threats, the horrors, kind of became much, much more human-based, while still occasionally having a supernatural edge to them. But kind of circling back a little bit and talking about that cynicism and the how there has always been a need at times for more hopeful storytelling, we even saw how in the 60s and 70s, especially during the Vietnam War, post Nixon administration and all that stuff, how entertainment kind of got very jaded and cynical and had this edge. And then in 1977, Star Wars came out. And that was kind of one of the earliest kind of like big pop culture moments, in especially in American culture, of an example of like a hopeful film coming out at a specific point in time when people were feeling jaded and cynical about things. And, you know, we needed something that was kind of like a breath of fresh air. And so in regards to how we see this change in genre in this, this perspective of when we look at the storytelling that we are trying to do and what kind of point of view we're trying to get across, you can see how that change over time has varied in various mediums. You know, talking about, like, say, fantasy, like the new Superman's very much a fantasy, but going into things like fantasy novels, we can see this contrast, like with hope punk and versus grimdark. And one of the most easy examples I can use as a point of like comparison and contrast is when you look at, say, J.R.R. Tolkien's work with The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, as opposed to, like, say, George R.R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire series. Now, the interesting thing is, like, both those genres have little bits of hope punk and a little bits of grimdark, but neither is fully one or the other. But you can see very much, like, the author's kind of worldviews kind of bleed into their work there, and how Tolkien, you know, a veteran of the First World War and, you know, someone that loved language and loved mythology and wanted to create a myth for England and English culture in a way that he felt was missing from English culture compared to many other cultures and countries, created this mythos with The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit and his later works with The Silmarillion and Unfinished Tales. And even though it's not, like, completely without darkness and without a bit of edge to it, because Tolkien could go very, very dark in his writings at times, and sometimes very terrifying and scary, but he still led with this hopeful view that things would work out, that we would learn from our past, and that we would pave a brighter path forward, and that, yes, the world will change and it will be marked by the tragedies and the traumas and the destructions that it's gone through, but there would still be this underlying hope for a better tomorrow and a better future for ourselves and for the generations to come after us. And, you know, there was that great line in the Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers movie adaptation directed by Peter Jackson, where the character of Samwise, played by Sean Astin, famously says, "There is some good in this world and it's worth fighting for." You know, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, tweaking it a little bit. That is what he essentially says, and that in some ways is at the core of what hope punk is about. Now, you look at something like George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire, it's not a full-on grim dark necessarily, but it's a more drastic, it's tonally very different from Tolkien. It's stylistically got a different viewpoint from Tolkien's, and Martin has explained that in interviews where he's talked about how he contrasted how Tolkien's was impacted by him fighting in the war and how World War One was very much its own experience, and even later World War Two impacted that story. But Martin was someone that was very much part of the counterculture of like the 60s and the 70s, and he very much, you know, was like writing in response to the time of like the grimness that he was experiencing with the failure of the Nixon administration, like post assassination of JFK and Martin Luther King, and, you know, the Vietnam War, you know, and he himself was a conscientious objector during the Vietnam War. So you see this contrast and how how the culture has shifted in terms of these approaches to storytelling, when sometimes we are drawn to these darker forms of storytelling, these more sometimes cynical, not always like outright cynical or nihilistic, but definitely more jaded worldviews, as opposed to what Hope Punk offers, which is something that is fighting for something bright, something hopeful. And, you know, we see it in many kinds of examples. And, you know, I was talking about how Man of Steel was in response to the Dark Knight trilogy that Christopher Nolan did. And, you know, the Christopher Nolan trilogy itself was kind of meant to counter the kind of campy, over-the-top Batman movies that came out in the mid-90s, and tried to make it more grounded and be a dramatic crime thriller with some kind of pulpy elements, some pulpy superhero elements thrown in there. But, and it was also very much a response to 9/11 and the war on terror and the war in Iraq, you know, the invasion of Iraq and occupation of Iraq, and, you know, seeing how all those things influence that form of storytelling and approach to blockbuster filmmaking. And now we see it's come full circle, where things have just gotten so kind of crazy in the world. And, you know, it's not that the world's never not been crazy. It's a cycle thing of just, we go through these phases of when things are really bleak and things seem very dire, and, you know, we have to fight to hold on to hope and fight to hold on to belief and faith that things can be better. And so this Superman movie is coming out very much, I think, at the right time, and it's very much a film that many, many people needed right now. I personally wasn't, there are many people that saw it and said they were so moved to tears, and I wasn't quite moved to tears, although I will admit when the first couple of trailers came out, I did kind of tear up a little bit, especially when they were like using the John Williams theme in the trailer and some of the shots of like people saying Superman and stuff like that. And all that's in the movie, but I was kind of already mentally prepped for it this time around, so it didn't quite elicit as emotional a response as as I thought it would. But even though I didn't necessarily cry during the movie, I was still moved by it. And I was still glad that we had this very refreshing take on this character. Because I think when Superman is at his best in terms of the quality of his writing, because it's very easy for him to be a Gary Stu messianic kind of figure that, you know, can be a little preachy and, you know, and all that stuff. But when written well, I think of something that Christopher Reeve, who played Superman in the 70s, how his take on the character, his view on the character, is that what Superman can embody is, he is your best friend, he is your neighbor that will be there to help you, you know, and that's the best way to approach writing Superman. It's not about making him the embodiment of all things good. It's him embodying the best friend that you would want to have, the best older brother that you would want to have, the best father figure that you would want to have. That, I think, is the key to writing a really good Superman character. And, you know, it's why people need stuff like Hope Punk in this kind of crazy environment that we live in. And, you know, there have been quite a few different examples of Hope Punk throughout the years. And again, the term Hope Punk is relatively new. It was coined in 2017, but that approach, that romanticization of like a hopeful future, a good world and good people and the goodness of human beings and the things that we can achieve and accomplish together, that kind of romanticized view of what life could potentially be, you know, that's existed in many different forms. Like I said before, like Star Wars came out in like the late 70s and was kind of very much a response to the cynicism that was going on. And, you know, I'm a huge anime and manga fan, and there have been a couple of examples of that over the last couple of years of some of my favorite things kind of having that Hope Punk kind of edge. Something like, say, Mobile Suit Gundam Witch from Mercury, if you never know anything about the Gundam franchise. It's very much kind of a war story kind of based franchise, and there's been many different takes and many different incarnations of it, and sometimes it's a grounded, gritty war story, and then sometimes it can go into weird, wacky, zany, speculative, pulpy fiction kind of area. There's always a little bit of pulp to the Gundam franchise, but one of the more recent kind of standalone entries, The Witch from Mercury, it's very much about the importance of kindness, the importance of caring about others and helping others. And even when things get cynical, even when you get hurt, whether you're hurt by people that are very much against you, or even hurt by people that you might even care about and they might betray you in some way or another, Witch from Mercury was very much about it's always important to be kind and good, even when you don't have anything to gain from it. And another anime example that I have, or a manga example I have, is something surprisingly called Undead Unluck, which starts off feeling like a dark fantasy, and it's zany and edgy, and you think it's going to go one way, but then the main character of Fuko shifts it and turns it on its head in the later half of the series, and is like, no, I'm going to fight for a brighter future. I'm going to fight for a happy ending for everybody. And so things like that are very refreshing. And, you know, I talked about Lord of the Rings as being an example of one. And even though there's like a bittersweetness to the ending of Lord of the Rings, and there's like the sadness that is part of the series, it's never about the sadness of like nothing to gain. It's more us mourning what has been lost while also being optimistic and moving forward towards a future. That's the point of the Samwise quote of, there is some good in this world, Mr. Frodo, and it's worth fighting for. And, you know, I think that is something that we really need in the world right now. And I just wanted to go in depth on this a little bit to maybe encourage people that, you know, right now could be going through something horrible or are just feeling the general despair or cynicism of the state of the world right now. I know it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to bear, and whatever solutions I could potentially think up maybe don't necessarily apply. But something I would encourage is definitely think about those examples of hope punk that I kind of briefly mentioned. Find some other examples of hope punk entertainment out there, because honestly, it can potentially give you that feel-good feeling that you might need. And sometimes that's the most powerful thing about entertainment and about art, is that it can give us that reprieve from reality when reality gets too oppressive and unbearable and is harder to negotiate. And finding something like the new Superman movie, the Superman movie about kindness, about empathy, this immigrant refugee alien that comes from the stars and lands on Earth, and whatever people may think of him and want from him, or what fears they may have about him, the character is always trying to do right and wants to do good and wants to care about others and wants to love and be a positive force in the world. And sometimes you just need a good movie like the new Superman movie. Sometimes it can be a book, it can be a show, it can be anything. But when it's hard finding hope, or when it's hard to give yourself hope, sometimes you need that piece of entertainment or art that can help you find it again. All right, folks, that'll do it for this episode of the Entertainment Podcast, the Entertainment Den Podcast subseries, Topics and Tangents. This is a new series I would like to try out, and this is probably one that I will be doing once, maybe twice a month, but this will be the one I do for July of this year. And I will probably have the next one up sometime in August for the weekly show. I don't think I'll have an episode out this week, but I will try to have an episode out either next week. I'm going to be traveling a little bit here, so I will try to have a regular series episode out either by the end of next week, or at least I will have one out the week following. Thank you all. Take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.